Hello and welcome to another Outlet at Home worship experience. I'm Vince Thomas, lead pastor of the Outlet community. And whether you're joining us right now live or you're listening to the audio podcast or catching the rebroadcast of this message, I want to thank you so much for investing into your life, into your spiritual formation and development. And I believe that as we partner together, that Holy Spirit is going to speak to you as I'm sharing what I have prepared on today. We're continuing this week the series, God Rebuild My Life. Somebody go ahead and type that in the chat. Say, God Rebuild My Life. And this message stems from just the end of 2020 and spending some time with the Lord saying, God, I need to kick off 2021 and make sure that I'm sharing with his people what they need to hear to align their lives to your plan. And he began to show me that 2020 was, yes, a year of disruption, but it was also a reset. But after you reset, it's important for you to rebuild the right way. I want to encourage you right now, do not go through 2021 not employing the lessons that you learned last year. Well, let's not come out of whatever we've gone through doing the same things, but let's learn together. And let's move forward and be all that God has called us to be. If you have your Bible, go with me back to our text for the entire month, which is found in Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 7. And I'll be reading from the New King James because I believe that this verse is rendered the best for the scripture. And it says, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And in all you're getting, get understanding. So as we focus on this first part, wisdom is the principle, or wisdom is the first thing. Wisdom is before all else. I want to share with you a message today entitled The Blueprint. Can we pray? Heavenly Father, I'm trusting in you to orchestrate our conversation, orchestrate this word, allow it to be tailor-made to all the hearers as we delve into the blueprint that you've given us, your wisdom that is given to build our lives, to design us in the way in which you have created us to be. I'm asking for open hearts and open minds for you to do what only you can in our lives. It's in Jesus' name we pray, amen, amen. So I want to let you know just the main point of today's message is that wisdom is the blueprint. Wisdom is the blueprint. Now, we all have blueprints to every areas of our life, but I want to make sure that in at least three areas you have a blueprint for. Number one, you need a blueprint for your personal growth and development. What will the plan be? Number two, you need a blueprint for your relationships. It's important that you have an understanding of what you will and will not tolerate, or the type of person that you want to be in your relationships. And number three, I want to make sure that you all have a financial blueprint. And being that we are all born into a fallen world and a fallen society, we are all born with a default blueprint. And that default blueprint is only going to lead to more turmoil, is only going to lead to more decay. And in some instances, that blueprint naturally leads to death. So your body, your mind, without the word of God, without being renewed, is going to lead you in a path that is going to further perpetuate destruction and distress. And so when we all became born again, and for those who have accepted Jesus Christ, their Lord and Savior, yes, your spirit became new, but where your blueprint resides in your mind, it's important for you to have to renew that and to change that and exchange the blueprint of death and decay for the blueprint of life. And a blueprint is important because it allows you to design with the big picture in mind. So God says that wisdom is the first thing that we need. So in every area of our life, before we begin building, before we begin designing, we need to take a moment and get wisdom. You need to, before you decide to enter into a business agreement, before you decide to enter into a serious and committed relationship, before you decide to give your body, your life, your heart to someone else, before you decide to take a particular course of study or go to a particular school, you need to see what is the end game, what is the end goal for your life. And I know that naturally we believe that we know what's best for us, but we have an idea of what's best for us. But I want to introduce you to God, who is in all places at all times. And because he's everywhere all at once, he's giving us relayed information saying, I see who you're going to be 10 years from now. I see who you're going to be 25 years from now. And I know the decisions that you need to make today. Come on, you need to hear me. And let me talk about relationships just for a moment. God knows the person that you're going to be. Listen, when I first started dating my wife 15 years ago, the person that I am today is not the person that I was 15 years ago. And I had to consult the wisdom of God before we entered into a serious relationship, because we all change, but that doesn't mean we all get better. Oh, hear me when I say that we all change, but that doesn't mean that we all get better. So when we allow God to speak to us and share with us that you want to make this decision, you want to go in this particular direction, this is where you'll be. He's forecasting and aligning you for the trajectory of your life. I've used this analogy and this illustration before in our worship services. But if you were to set the coordinates of a plane in New York, and you were trying to fly all the way to San Diego, California, if you don't make constant check-ins and constant adjustments, just being off by 1 degree, leaving from the airport in New York, you may end up in Seattle or Alaska. You'll be completely off course. And so we have seasons of prayer because, listen, life can sometimes push us. We can sometimes get distracted. We can sometimes miss what we're supposed to be doing and look up and ask, how in the world did I get into all these different entanglements? But what God is saying is that if you check in with him, he will allow you to hear what it is that you're supposed to do and make the tough decisions today. You see, wisdom has to be our first move. And our first move has to be our best move. Come on, somebody. Somebody type in, my first move will be wisdom. Wisdom, as it says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7 and 8, that God has lavished his grace upon us, and he's given us this free gift of grace using all wisdom and insight. It was the wisdom of God that said that before I release you into this earth, I want to make sure that I give you the necessary power to be successful in this earth. God did not create us to be average. Now, naturally, we'll drift toward average and mediocrity, but as long as you're spending time with God, he's gonna cause you to make decisions. And we'll talk about that in 2 weeks, about how can you make decisions for excellence? Because there's this pull that says, average is okay. If I have enough, I'm doing good enough. But God says that I want to give you insight to places where you have more than enough, because there are other people that are going to have to learn from you. There are other people that are going to have to draw your wisdom. You are called to open and lift lids for others. If all you do is think about, I have what I need, I'm taking care of my family, I'm taking care of my squad, and I'm not looking out for anybody else, then why would God have lavished his grace upon you? There's more to this life than what meets the eye. God's grace is a smart grace. And the Bible says that in Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. That's found in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 3. But I want to caution you, because the wise way to live is not always the most obvious, and it's not always the most popular way to live. It says that it's inside of preaching Christ that the wisdom of God lives. Now, can you imagine when Christ was crucified on the cross that was a demonstration of God at the peak display of his wisdom? So him crucifying Christ out-strategized the works of the enemy. The enemy thought that he had God backed up in a corner, but the only thing that the enemy did was he allowed Christ to be planted in the earth as a seed, so that everyone born after him could be accepted, and that the work that was needed to achieve a perfect relationship with God was done through one man, Jesus Christ. What does that teach us? That even though in the moment it might not look good, as long as you trust God, in the end it will be good. So if we get caught up into, right now, this doesn't feel good. Right now, I'm not sure about this. Right now, making this decision may cause me to have to stand alone. Sometimes you have to stand alone for a moment to bring others with you for the long term. Now, as I look at the word wisdom, last week we talked about it was the Hebrew word chokmah, and chokmah means insight, knowledge, and good judgment, because wisdom ultimately is the capacity of our mind. How much of God's blueprint do you want operating in your life? All of us are going to, every day we have breath in our body, we're going to live that day out. So how about living that day according to God's blueprint instead of the default blueprint of decay that was born in our flesh? Living according to God's blueprint for our life, it, number one, enhances the quantity and the quality of our life. When you live according to God's wisdom in your personal, your plan for personal growth and development, in your relationships, and in your finances, you'll see that the days that you live are more fulfilled, because they're according to the plan of God and not your own. But another element of living according to God's blueprint and getting wisdom from Him is that you will leave a lasting legacy of prosperity. Now listen, when we use the term prosperity, I'm not just talking about external items. I'm not talking about the Bentley, the house, the car. What I'm talking about is the ability to, whatever challenge arises, you know how to meet it with class and having success. That's true prosperity. James chapter 1, verses 5 through 6, James writes to it, says, if you need wisdom, we can ask our generous God, and He will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking, but when you ask Him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Don't waver, for a person with divided loyalty as to where the source of my wisdom comes from is as unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. We need to learn how to properly apply the wisdom that God gives us and know that because He is our source, He may ask us to do things that naturally we don't understand. But in the end, when we obey, and when we operate according to God's wisdom and His plan for our life, you will see that you'll reap His fruit and not your fruit. I've been there in my life where in my heart, I sense God leading me to go in a certain direction, but it just didn't make sense. And I said, no, I'm going to go ahead and take matters into my own hands. Every time I've taken matters into my own hands, there were issues that came up that I didn't account for. What wisdom does is it causes your world to slow down so that you can hear a direct download on, should I purchase this home? Should I be a part of this organization? How much should I give this particular person? All of these items come from God, and He knows what to do. And our response is to simply follow His wisdom. I want you to go with me to Proverbs chapter 8. We're going to look at verses 12 and 13, and I want to show you how wisdom is set up. And honestly, for further study, really take time to delve into Proverbs 8, because it does an outstanding personification of wisdom, and it shows that wisdom was there from the beginning. So the same wisdom that created the universe, the same wisdom that enacted the eternal plan of redemption, that same wisdom lives on the inside of you. Imagine how your decisions going forward can be affected. I remember probably my wife and I may have been married about 4 years, and we hit a time where I needed to get clear direction from God, because we were about to take on a project that naturally I didn't have the resources to complete. But in my heart, I knew the Lord told me to take on this project, but naturally I didn't know where the resources were going to come from. And every morning He said, just put aside an hour of your day and just sit before Me and set a timer for 1 hour. You know, read your daily reading. Pray in other tongues. I encourage any person who is filled with Holy Spirit to have a vibrant prayer language. If I'm honest with you, The majority of the time that I'm praying, I'm not praying in English. English prayers are limited to my own intellect. But the Bible says that when you're praying in other tongues, you're praying out the wisdom of God, because your mouth creates the world that you walk in. So when you're praying out in other tongues, you're praying out the plan of God, although your mind, your understanding, as the word says, is unfruitful. Your mind says, what is this gibberish that you're talking? But your spirit is connecting to the divine will and divine plan of God. And so I spent that time just with the daily reading. And so right now we have the book of Proverbs every day. And I read the proverb or the scripture reading. And then I spent time praying in other tongues. And then when you, after you do those two things, you want to sit in silence. Again, our walk with God is a relationship. So if it's a relationship and you've done your talking, then you need to allow time for God to now do his talking. And every single time, he gave me the necessary wisdom I needed to order my family to accomplish the goal. Not only did we accomplish the goal that was before us, we exceeded the goal. In fact, there were things that I didn't even know that God made known in that quality time. It seems foolish. God uses the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. It's foolish when you feel like I don't have enough time in the day to set aside an hour to pray. It seems foolish when you could say, I could use that hour marketing. I could use that hour creating content. I could use that hour networking. I could use that hour reading something different that was related to my field. But God says, just give me an hour. Tithe a portion of your day to me. And when you do, he exchanges the wisdom and causes you to go further than you ever thought. But in Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 12, it says, wisdom lives together with good judgment. I know where to discover knowledge and discernment. And watch what the proverb says in verse 13. All who fear the Lord will hate evil. Therefore, and this is God speaking, I hate pride, arrogance, corrupt, and perverse speech. And so in verse 12, it lists three properties. In verse 13, it lists three properties. And so God always gives you the answer before the problem ever shows up. And so in verse 12 of Proverbs chapter 8, he gives us the answer that we need wisdom, or we need good judgment that comes from wisdom. We need knowledge, true knowledge, which means experiential knowledge, not just head knowledge. He wants you to live it out. And we need discernment, or the New King James calls it discretion, knowing what to do, when to do it. We'll talk about that more in depth in just 2 weeks. Those three things will counteract against pride. Next week, I'm going to really dig into pride, which is the silent killer in our walk with God. It said that the wisdom of God that then will produce knowledge will take care of arrogance. Because when you have true knowledge, you know how much you're capable of doing, and you know what you need God to help with. So you don't ever get arrogant about the good that's in your life, because you realize the good you have in your life came because there was a good God in your life. Somebody tap and type amen. And finally, discernment or discretion. It then will influence our speech. So not just telling it like it is, because listen, right now in the conversations I'm having, people are being honest with me. That, man, I am angry, more angry than I've ever been. I'm seeing injustice run rampant, being tolerated, being accepted. But we still have to follow the blueprint or the long game. And the discretion or the discernment will tell us not only what to say or post, but when to say and post what we need. We should not post everything we're thinking. At the end of the day, yes, there are injustices, but I want to challenge you to still be a place that when people do wake up from their stupor, they can come to you as someone who's going to minister Christ to them. We do not want to kill our witness because someone who says they're a Christian isn't acting like one. We want to use the wisdom of God and how we are to operate. Here recently, I picked up President Barack Obama's new book, A Promised Land. And he ended with a quote that I wanted, and a prayer in chapter 8 that I thought was so fitting. And he said, "Lord, protect my family and me. Forgive me my sins and help me guard against pride and despair. Give me the wisdom to do what is right and just, and make me an instrument of your will." As we operate in the wisdom of God, he will keep us in his divine plan. He will help us to navigate things that are sent to trip us up and to distract us. But most importantly, as you operate in God's wisdom, you create room to be an instrument of God's will and not our own. Can you pray with me today? If you're out there and right now your mind is in a fog, you have a lot that's going on, you don't know where to turn, what to do, you just have a lot going, and you need God's wisdom to download to you right now. You need just the strength and the encouragement and the might of God to surround you. Can I pray with you today? Heavenly Father, I'm praying for my brothers and sisters. These are truly unprecedented times, even still this year. And God, I'm asking that you make known to them your wisdom. Father, protect them and their family. Those who right now may have never accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, Father, I'm asking that you forgive them of their sins as they accept you, as they call on your name to be born again. Father, for all of us, guard against pride. Guard against falling into despair. And give us the wisdom to do what is right and what is just. Because, Lord, we want to be instruments of your will. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, if you prayed with me, there's some information coming up on screen. Just text us at 770-667-4899. The phrase, "I've prayed with you." And either myself or one of our team members will follow up with you, find out how we can be accountable to you. I just want to thank you all for plugging in and being a part of today's worship experience. I am so excited of all that's coming up here at our church. Just in the next week, we are going to have a couple of opportunities for men and women to just kind of have an outlet to vent. And so on Wednesday night, at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, ladies, you all are going to have the well check-in. That's right. My wife, Pastor Ashley, she's going to meet with all the women just for you to have an opportunity to vent, to be encouraged at 7 p.m. on Wednesday night using the Recharge prayer link. So the same link that you use for our morning and weekend prayers, you're going to be able to log in for that. The following night at 7 p.m. On Thursday, for all the fellas, listen, we need to talk. I mean, it's real out here, and you need a safe space to vent. We need to talk strategy. We need to talk solutions. We need to just be real and level with each other. And so Thursday at 7, I'm inviting every fella to that same link. Those meetings, those outlets will not be streamed. We are going to be on Zoom, because what happens on the Zoom call stays on the Zoom call, unless you're, anyway, I'm not even going to go there. I'm talking about somebody's, anyway. So we're going to do that on Wednesday. We're going to do that on Thursday. Also on Thursday night, we have an outreach meeting, just going over the upcoming outreach event. If you want more information on that, on Martin Luther King Day, we are going to have a day on, not a day off. And so on Martin Luther King, the holiday, the outlet, we're coming together to be a blessing to those who are maybe disenfranchised, maybe homeless. If you have extra shoes, jackets that you're thinking of throwing away and you want to donate to those who are on the streets of Atlanta. Last time in Christmas when we went out, the shoes were a big hit. Purses were a big hit. Jackets were a big hit to those who just for this brief period are experiencing homelessness. Our prayer is that on that day, we can continue to be a blessing. If you want more information, you can email outreach@theoutletcommunity.com. Again, it's outreach@theoutletcommunity.com. And again, I want to thank you all for your generosity. You all have been so amazing concerning your giving, your support. There are three ways to give at the outlet. You can give online, theoutletcommunity.com/give. You can give by texting the number 73256 and send the letters TOC, and there'll be a link that comes back to you. Or you can give by Zelle by simply entering in give@theoutletcommunity.com, give@theoutletcommunity.com in your Zelle portal. And it allows us to continue to be a blessing in the community that we're in. As Diana said earlier in today's broadcast, the 2020 charitable contribution statements are now available on our church database. You can access them today, but you'll also be receiving an email this week just showing you the impact of your giving in 2020. Well, on behalf of my wife and I, we say we love you. God bless you. Thank you for being a part of today's experience. We look forward to seeing you next time. God bless.